Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, as Florida and the Southeast United States awaits the arrival of the strongest Atlantic hurricane to hit the U.S., Mexico has just experienced the largest earthquake in over 100 years, with already significant loss of life, property damage, and tsunami warnings moving across the Pacific. You know, perhaps since 9/11 of 2001, are the American people beginning to feel such helplessness, and that we're now being confronted with things and events too large to negotiate, too expensive to borrow our way out, and too permanent in nature so as to be able just to go back to life as normal in just a day or two. These are interesting days. We can't ignore it. It is the discussion of the day, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today on this program. We've discussed it often, and we continue to do so on this program, Stand in the Gap Day, to give a biblical perspective during days such as what we're living in now. So in this first segment, we're going to talk about biblically responding to these eventful days. Then in the balance of the program today, we're going to be talking to one of our recurring Stand in the Gap Today guests, IQ Arasuli, as we take this Friday, before the storm actually comes ashore here in the U.S. mainland, and possibly, depending how things go, could actually make a second arrival on 9/11. Just 16 years ago, that occurred on Monday. It's amazing how these are aligning. And we're going to make our general theme for the day a status report, 9/11/2001 to 9/11/2017, with this focus: who's winning the war on terror? Because you remember, ladies and gentlemen, that's what actually began at that point, that emphasis. So it's going to be our intent to reflect back more specifically on 9/11 on Monday, which is coming up. But I wanted to step aside today and focus on giving this status report. Who's winning this war on terror that has consumed this nation since that point in time in 2001? And we're going to have IQ Arasuli to help us beginning in segment two. So with that introduction, I'd like to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'll be joined today by Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl. So, men, we can't ignore what's happening around us. Our hearts go out to those who are being impacted by all of these disasters. And I know I've done many interviews on radio and others today, yesterday, and as I listen to it, this is the consuming discussion, as rightly it ought to be. We're threatened by North Korea. On the other hand, we have Islam in its various forms, including Iran and even Saudi Arabia. They're all in that. I mean, these guys are all in there. These are all threats that face us. We've been facing economic catastrophe represented by $21 trillion of debt for years. And Congress just now, yesterday, just voted to completely do away with the debt limit, took the cap off of it. So I have no idea where that's going to go. And we don't like to talk about these things, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't, but we have to, because it gives opportunity to really talk about the only person who can fix all these things, and that's Jesus Christ. And that is the hope in these days. So let's talk about that a little bit, men, if we can. Yesterday, Charisma Magazine contacted me, as a Christian leader, they did a number of others, and asked for my comments on how I am praying in these times of increasing national disaster. They gave me three questions. I gave them three answers. Here's the first one, and then I want to go to you, Dave, and you, Gary, for your responses on how you specifically are praying. But this was the question that they responded. It's on their website now, along with about eight or nine other Christian leaders across the country. This was the first question they posed. How are you praying against the storm? And I answered this way. As a Christian, I'm ultimately praying that God's will be done through this storm. As Jesus himself prayed in the garden just prior to his crucifixion, Lord, let this pass. But if not, may your will be done. And in the face of all circumstances of life, be they blessings or judgment, the believer's prayers must follow the same model. The reason is that God is sovereign, and he does control the weather either by causing or permitting things to occur. We must therefore look to him for the reason. In the case of our nation, where we've clearly rejected the God of heaven, we've proclaimed his truth to be void and proclaimed evil to be good in so many ways, it should not be hard for us to look to the God of heaven now and ask of him as a nation how we should be responding. I submit we should need to be responding in humility. Dave, let me go to you. That's how I responded to that first question. But let me go to you now personally. You just came from Washington out there with fires that were raging. We were talking about that off air a little bit. How are you personally praying for people in these days who are specifically in the areas that are being hard hit? How are you taking these before the Lord?
Well, Sam, I'm praying, obviously, that God will have mercy, that he will spare catastrophic destruction. He will spare people's lives, certainly from death. But we also need to understand this. Matthew 4, verse 45 says this, "For he," talking about God, "maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." And typically, the sun and the rain are viewed as good things that happen to people. So God sends good to both the just or the righteous and the unrighteous. But the converse of that is also true. Sometimes negative things occur both on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And these things that we're watching happen are things that we would never wish on anybody. But I'm praying that the impact will be minimized, life will be spared. But above and beyond all things, Sam, I'm praying that, as you stated so clearly in your comment to Charisma News, I'm praying that God's will be done, and that on two levels, those that do not know Christ will turn to him as a result of seeing these awesome displays of his power. And then number two, that God's church will rise to this occasion. Anytime there is a natural disaster or something like what we are watching with this hurricane that's approaching, these fires in the Pacific Northwest, the great earthquake that occurred in Mexico, these are times for God's church to rise up. And I think we are seeing some of that as God's people are responding. At least they have out here in the Pacific Northwest in a good way.
Gary, let me go to you right off here as we conclude here. As a nation, should we be seeing these things coming before God as a nation? How are you praying in regard to that?
Well, I don't know that I have the time left to go into it as I would like to, but I want to say this. They are telling us that there are already 32 known dead from that earthquake down in Mexico, and of course, more will be taking place, no doubt. But I am praying for those who are in harm's way, and I think that we need to do that desperately. I think we need to reach out to them financially. You know, I was talking to a fellow yesterday who told me from the Red Cross that that's the most effective way to reach out to these people who are facing devastation. I think that we need to do what we can even beyond that to offer material things. I've got some other things I could say if you want me to share later. If not, that's okay. But certainly we need to pray for our nation.
Yes, we do indeed, Gary, and I'm going to have you close the program today and incorporate some of that into that if you can. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to transition now into the second segment, bringing our guest, IQ Avrasouli, former Iraqi, now living in exile, authority, geopolitical, and Islamic expert. He's going to talk to us. We're going to compare where we are now, 9/11 2017, compared to 9/11 2001, and who's winning this war on terror.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare, but not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. We're going to move right now. We're going to switch gears from talking about the natural disasters, Irma, and other things that are occurring, and shift gears here to a comparison, a little bit of a status update. I don't know that anybody's actually done this, but I think it's appropriate that we do. 9/11 is on Monday, this coming Monday, 16-year anniversary of the events that occurred at the Twin Towers and all back in 2001. It was at that point in time, ladies and gentlemen, that Americans were jolted into a new reality. The reality was that there are ideologies out there that are at war with us and who are very glad when they destroy lives and property. And that event launched, as you recall, what George W. Bush called the War on Terror. Well, since that time, we've spent trillions of dollars, and I'll say theoretically, fighting that war on one hand. On the other hand, seemingly feeding the beast that would kill us on the other hand. And after 16 years, I think it makes sense to take an objective evaluation of what's happened since then. Who's actually winning this war? Who's further ahead? The defense of the United States or the enemies who clearly indicated they want to take us down? I couldn't think of anybody better to help us in that regard than IQ Ar-Rasooli. He's a former Iraqi now living in exile. He is a geopolitical expert, and he is the author of the tremendous trilogy, Lifting the Veil, The Many Faces of Muhammad and Islam. And with that, I welcome you to the program today again, IQ Ar-Rasooli.
Thank you for having me, Pastor.
Well, IQ, let me start right off with here, and then Dave and Gary are going to be posing questions to you as well. But this is a simple question. Perhaps it's a simple question, but I know you'll have a quick answer. Since 9/11 of 2001, when the Islamic terrorist attacked our nation here, the United States, and President Bush launched his war on terror, to this very day, that has been the consuming effort by foreign policy. In your opinion, IQ, who has gained more ground and achieved more of their goals in this war, the United States or the Islamic terrorist?
The Islamic terrorist, obviously. I'll tell you why it's obvious. You were absolutely right when you mentioned trillions of dollars. The United States spent trillions of dollars and tens of thousands of Americans' lives wasted. I'm raising my voice because I'm upset. Wasted. A single American life is equal to 10 to 20,000 Muslim lives who are fighting against them. This is not racism. This is fact. The tragedy is simple. Neither in Europe, the leaders, nor in America, the leaders, except for Trump so far, have been willing to identify the enemy. And the enemy is Islam. Even Trump says radical Muslims or extremist Muslims. They don't exist. There is no such thing as an extremist, militant, moderate, or radical Muslim. They don't exist. A Muslim is a Muslim. Who said that? Erdogan, the leader of Turkey. He said it in plain English. He told it to European Union leaders. You upset me when you talk about this Muslim moderate extremist. There is no such thing. Muslim is a Muslim. He's telling them the truth. Muslims have been telling the truth. What is the truth from Islamist point of view? Every single Muslim believes that Sharia should dominate the world. Every single Muslim believes that either humanity submits to Islam under Sharia, or to be exterminated. Every Muslim, they have no choice in the matter because that is what the Quran tells them to do. So, the European and American leaders are not willing to identify the enemy. They're not willing. They're afraid or not afraid, I'm not interested. They're not willing to identify the enemy. And yet the enemy is amongst us. Enemy in Europe, there are 35 million Muslims in European Union. There are 3 to 4 million Muslims in America. Ask any Muslim, and every Muslim, by the way, by definition, if they are a Muslim, they are Sharia compliant. Mm. Ask any Muslim a simple question. Who, according to you, Muslim, am I who is not a Muslim? Mm. The answer should always be the same. You are an infidel, a kafir. That's it. What is the destiny of infidel and kafir? Either to submit to Sharia or to be exterminated. Mm. No Muslim, I repeat it again and again, and I dare any Muslim listening, any Imam listening, or any American listening who doesn't agree with me, to confront me and prove me wrong. Every single Muslim, by definition, is the enemy, the eternal and mortal enemy of every human being on planet Earth who's not a Muslim. Mm-hmm. They declared war, Muhammad declared war on all humanity who's not Muslim 1400 years ago. They will never stop.
You know, I think
you
IQ
can't
that.
Defeat an enemy if you don't identify them. You're not willing to identify them, you are losing.
Well,
that's
I think that. I think that you're right on that, and of course we've talked about that many times, and it's, I think, very crucial for us to continue to review it. As somebody once said, repetition and review is the best teacher. But let me just take what you've said and dig into it a little bit deeper, if I may. You know, it certainly does appear that we in the United States of America, as well as those who are over in Europe, are losing this war on terrorism. And Islam is behind terrorism, as you have indicated. Can you speak to our audience and share specifically, from your perspective, IQ, why you think we are really losing this war on terrorism in both the United States and in Europe, please?
With all due respect, I don't like to use the word I think. I don't think, I know. You are losing. You have... In America, CAIR, C-A-I-R, Council on American Islamic Relations. They are part and parcel of the Muslim Brotherhood. Trump, President Trump, said before he became president that he would cut them off. He hasn't done that. Why? What does CAIR, by the way, I don't know if you know this, CAIR is supporter publicly supports the complete destruction of all statues of the Confederacy. Did you know that? Did you know that, Pastor?
No.
Well, please, Google it. It's so important. CAIR is with Antifa. CAIR is with the Black Lives Matter. CAIR publicly said that the Confederacy or the statues of the Confederacy should be destroyed. Why would they do that? Why would an Arab Islamic people do that? Every fair-minded American should ask himself, why? Why would CAIR, an Arab Muslim organization, join forces with Black Lives Matter, with Antifa, and with the other leftist brown shirts of the Democratic Party, attempting to destroy America's history? Why? The answer is always simple when one studies the history of Arabs and Islam. And I'll give it to you now. Not once in the last 1400 years have Muslims ever apologized for the systematic and institutionalized brutal enslavement of peoples on three continents, especially of black Africans. On the contrary, Arabs invariably gloat about their dastardly deals. Now, let's get this straight. The reason CAIR wants to destroy these Confederacy figures or statues is to align this enslavement of black people with white Christians, with white Christians. They are shifting the blame when, in fact, it was the Arabs and their African converts to Islam who slaughtered, raped, murdered, and caused the horrible death and destruction of 140 million non-Muslim black Africans called Kuffar. So that 14 million of them who survived ended up as slaves in the Americas. Only 5% of these, about 700,000, ended up in what we call today the United States of America. Arabs and Muslims have been extremely successful in deceiving history and learned peoples into believing that the African slave trade was instituted and conducted only by white Christians, thus removing any blame from Arabs and Muslims. That is why CARE is doing what it does.
IQ, that is an amazing assertion, and I believe you are so spot on. We did have a gentleman on this program who linked Antifa and Black Lives Matter with CARE and other Islamic entities. It was John Guandalo. He said they were too smart to be seen on camera, but they were behind a lot of what's going on. They have allied themselves with those organizations. Rather, I think the point you're making is one that needs to be underscored over and over again. The attempt to eliminate these statues is an attempt to make the blame for the slave trade fall squarely on the shoulders of white Christians, thus removing any accountability whatsoever from what Islam has done down through the years. An excellent point.
Gentlemen, great discussion, IQ. Thank you for that insight here today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the comparing of where we were in 9/11, 2001, as compared to now in this war on terror. Who's winning? IQ Alrasooli, our guest, clearly said we are not winning because we're not having identified the enemy proper. When we come back, we're going to talk about Islamic terrorism now internationally. Since that point in time, are they winning also internationally, or is it just here?
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are just joining us here in the program, perhaps you're listening live here at 12 to 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time is when this program airs. Many of the stations across the country carry this program delayed. But many of you might be joining us here in the middle of your lunch break, perhaps. We are glad that you're with us. Very, very critical program today. Great guest, IQ Alrasooli, off and on with us. But we're talking today about really getting a status, a comparison, and who's winning this war on terror. Because it was just 16 years ago, Monday, that 9/11 occurred when America was, and Americans were jolted out of slumber into a, I would say, all of you can remember, it was kind of a point of surreal activity. Just a lot of things happened at that point. And I would say that God got our attention at that point as a nation. Didn't last real long. But I think that God's getting our attention again as we approach this weekend, now perhaps more directed by the severity of Hurricane Irma. But all of that being said, we have to take the information that's before us, put it through the filter of biblical truth, constitutional facts, as we try to do in this program regularly. And since 9/11, our international foreign policy has been dominated by what George W. Bush began as the war on terror. We thought it was appropriate to get a little bit of a status report. Last segment, we answered the question, IQ answered the question, who effectively is winning this war, us, the United States, or the enemy, the Islamic terrorists. And he said the Islamic terrorists are effective because we haven't been willing to identify the enemy. So in this segment, I want to walk into more of the international flavor. And IQ, I want to start with you here on that because you are overseas. You're not living here in the United States. You give a very, very good international perspective. But I picked up an article just 2 days ago that has a picture of the continent of Europe on the front with an Islamic crescent overlaid across it with the words Eurabia, E-U-R-A-B-I-A, Europe and Arabia, kind of together, Eurabia, written on it. The article goes on to depict how the Islamic goals for world domination, they believe that an Islamic takeover in Europe is imminent. Didn't set the time for it, but they believe that they are winning the war there. In your opinion, IQ Ar-Rasuli, since 9/11/2001, who is winning the war on terror internationally?
I said it. You're losing. The Europeans are losing and the Americans are losing. Because neither side, neither the European leaders, nor the American leaders, and not even their peoples, are willing to face facts and reality. The enemy is within. The enemy declared it 1,400 years ago and will continue their attacks against Europe and America. Because you've got to understand something. To a Muslim, anyone who's not a Muslim is an infidel, is a kafir. What is the destiny of kuffar under Islamic rule? Simple. Either you submit to Sharia or you are exterminated. And this is exactly what ISIS has been doing. This is exactly what Al-Shabaab do. This is exactly what Boko Haram does. This is exactly what every group of terrorist Muslim organizations do around the world. And yet, when somebody, a Muslim, shouting Allahu Akbar, murders somebody in Europe, the news media tell you we don't know what was in his mind. I mean, how stupid can anybody be? How stupid is it possible that millions of people are completely out of touch with reality? But they are. By the way, we're talking about globally. You have North Korea. North Korea is only one segment. You have the Islamic Republic of Iran. North Korea and Iran have been colluding together for the last 20 years, doing to, you know, increasing their ability to acquire weapons of mass destruction and the delivery systems. Earlier, you mentioned something about Israel. It's very interesting. Let me give you an idea. While European and previous American presidents have been appeasing North Korea and Iran and Muslim terrorists for decades, Israel had taken upon herself the ungrateful task to literally destroy the enemy's capacity to develop weapons of mass destruction, helping defend Western civilization. And I'll explain to you how. Israel destroyed Saddam's French nuclear facility of Osirak on the 7th of June, 1981. In Operation Opera, I'll give you complete details so that anybody listening can double check it. And got condemned by America and Europe. They did the job. The dirty work, but they were condemned by America and Europe. But had they not done so, no power on earth would have removed Saddam Hussein from Kuwait or Iraq. They also obliterated the nuclear facility in Syria, which North Korea helped to build in Operation Orchard in 2007. And the North Koreans were being paid by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Yesterday, Israel destroyed a chemical weapons facility again in Syria. I would like our listeners to comprehend the magnitude of Israel's achievements. Israel is only 8,000 square miles in area with a population of 8 million people, 2 million of whom are Arabs. Israel is surrounded by an Arab landmass of 5 million square miles with over 400 million population, who have been determined to exterminate her since 1947, and yet they lost every single battle against her. The USA spent $500 billion on defense. Israel spends only 18. And yet this tiny state has had the most remarkable secret service in modern history, with less than 1/100th the expenditure of the United States of America on intelligence, while all others keep on talking and talking to reprobates and thug leaders, Israel acts. What I'm getting at is, stop talking. Do something. Because if you don't do it today, in the next few months, in the next few weeks, not even years, the catastrophe for America and Europe is infinitely greater. Don't take my word for it. History teaches you. They didn't understand when Hitler said he will exterminate so-and-so and he will kill so-and-so, they said, no, the Germans are civilized people, it can't happen. The Germans were civilized until the period between 1933 to 1939, when they became monsters. Not because they were evil, no.
Gentlemen, let me say this. What IQ just shared with us is absolutely amazing information. It's phenomenal information. This tiny state of Israel, the way God has been their defense and their protector, and what they've been willing to do to address the Islamic issue when the United States of America has not been willing to do so, speaks volumes. Let me just mention this, and if we do have IQ, I want to address the question to him. If not, then Sam Gary will address it to you. But in February of 2012, everyone will remember this if you were paying attention, when General John Allen apologized to the Muslim community because Allied forces improperly disposed of Qurans, and that stirred up a major, major controversy. Well, this week, Major General James Linder has apologized to Muslims in Afghanistan for offending them by dropping leaflets that contain the image of a dog, along with the Islamic Shahada, which is, of course, the statement that says there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. IQ, if you are still there, I want to ask you, how in the world can we possibly expect to win a war when we constantly apologize to the people, really, with whom we are at war? I mean, how in the world is that possible?
Well, IQ, I guess he's gone. Are you there, IQ?
Yeah, I don't understand what happened. I was talking and nobody was listening.
Well, I think we're impacted by solar flares, really. I mean, that's the case. That's impacting things around the world right now, so you dropped out. Did you get Dave's question there?
No, I haven't heard anything. I was talking for 5 minutes, literally.
Okay, well, we switched gears here when we lost you. Dave asked you a question about this. How can we win the war when, in fact, a Major General, U.S. Major General James Linder, just apologized to Muslims in Afghanistan for offending them by dropping leaflets containing the image of a dog with Islamic Shahada on it? That same thing happened when General John Allen apologized to them back in 2012 for improperly disposing of Qurans. How can we win if we continue to apologize to the enemy that wants us dead?
But, Pastor, that's exactly what I've been saying. You can't win. There is no way on earth you can win. You have $500 billion plus of expenditure on armaments. Israel spends $18 billion, and with the $18 billion, he destroyed Osirak, destroyed the enemy left, right, and center. You have to do something. You've got to act. Israel doesn't wait. America waits and waits and waits and then apologizes. McMaster and Kelly are two generals. They're decorated generals, four-star generals. They fought in Afghanistan. They fought in Iraq, and they don't understand Islam. Disgusting. Disgusting. What can I tell you?
We're going to come back here, IQ, and I'm going to ask you, as we talk a little bit more about the Middle East, and that is this. President Trump came in with a clear indication of who that enemy was. I'm going to ask you when we come back, do you think that his head has been turned by those around him? What can we expect? Do you think that President Trump will take action, unlike Barack Obama, who took the wrong action? Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. We're going to have IQ answer that question when we come back in just another couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin to wrap up this program here in this last segment, we've gone here to the United States. We've taken an international look, comparing, getting a status update more or less between who's winning this war on terror from 16 years ago on Monday. Hard to believe. 9/11, 2001. The 16th anniversary coming up just on Monday here. We've asked our special guest, IQ Avrasuli, his thoughts, and he's been very, very, very clear. We left talking a little bit about Israel in the Middle East, and I want to go back there again, if I could, because terrorism, Islamic terrorism, clearly has identified the destruction of the United States, calling us the Great Satan. Europe is wrapped up into there as well, but Israel is the little Satan, and they want them obliterated as well. And just recently, it's come to, I guess, a point of analysis that when it comes to Israel, Iran continues to play a major role as perhaps the major enemy. But Iran is not working alone. And an article I just saw just the other day talked about Israel now facing enemies on three sides, and how Iran is orchestrating a multifaceted war against Israel. IQ Avrasuli, would you explain a little bit what's happening with Iran, the role that they're playing with these other groups on the ground there surrounding Israel, because it's very significant.
Yes, but Iran, as we said, Iran, the Muslim Republic, so-called, of Iran, is the foremost enemy not only of Israel, of the United States of America. I mean, they're threatening the United States of America. And now they have been emboldened even more because North Korea is emboldened. They shout and scream and shoot rockets, and now they have a hydrogen bomb and nobody's doing anything. Look, Donald Trump has unfortunately been bequeathed the most disastrous legacy by whom? By starting with Bill Clinton and ending with the treasonous Obama. Israel is alone. It's surrounded. You said it's surrounded. It's surrounded in the north, the Hezbollah people from Lebanon. Now the Iranians are going into Syria. They are also now supporting Hamas. Although Hamas is Sunni Muslim, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But sooner or later, I honestly have absolutely no doubt, just as Israel attacked the nuclear reactor in Iraq and destroyed it under Saddam Hussein, and they destroyed the nuclear reactor in Syria, and now they destroyed a chemical factory in Syria, Israel will attack Iran. America is not going to do it. The Europeans are not going to do it. They're only talking. They've been talking for 50 years. It's enough talking. It's about time to do some bloody work. Do something. Act. All the talking is not going to change an iota of those terrorist organizations. All the talking they had with Hitler didn't change anything. It only emboldened him. It is a certainty. The only country on earth today
IQ,
is America.
You mentioned...
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish your statement.
only America in this world today can confront North Korea and Iran. The only America. There's nobody else. Believe me. Nobody. Not China, well, there's no, not Russia, not Europe.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Iran and North Korea are working together, and I'm not sure that we all know to what degree that they are working together. My question to you, and of course you said that if anybody attacks Iran, it will be Israel. Maybe my question to you is twofold. Number one, do you think that Israel, understanding and having intelligence on what's going on between Iran and North Korea, do you think that there's a possibility that they would attack both Iran and North Korea?
No.
And
Iran, yes, but not North Korea.
Not North Korea? Okay.
No, it's too far. It's too far.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is near.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is near. You can send a submarine. You don't need to fly overland. Israel has the technology.
Mm-hmm.
They modified two or three of the submarines which were bought from Germany with cruise missiles. You don't need to fly over Arab and Muslim territory. With a cruise missile, with a nuclear, tactical nuclear weapon, you can do enormous damage.
Well, let me follow up on that then. Do you think it's possible that North Korea and Iran are working together in a multifaceted front to bring an attack upon the United States of America?
Yes. By the way, the attack in 2007 that Israel conducted against nuclear facility in Syria was being built by North Korea, and it was financed by the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's not a matter of doubt here. There's no doubt, none whatsoever. They have been working together to get nuclear weapons and to perfect their delivery systems together. That means North Korea and the Republic of Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Yes. It's not a doubt. There's not even a conjecture in here. Everybody who is in the intelligence service knows it.
IQ, let me quickly ask you this, because the program's coming to an end, and I want to thank you. You have been, as always, stellar today. The things you have shared have just been beyond powerful, but little is being said about the presence of Iran and Russia in Venezuela. I'm wondering what your opinion is with respect to Iran's strategic mission in Venezuela. What are they trying to accomplish there?
They're converting the Latin Americans, not only in Venezuela, by the way. They're on your border with Mexico. Tens of thousands of Latinos are being converted to Islam, not to Christianity. They're getting them out of Christianity to Islam. Don't take my word for it. Again, I always tell people, don't take my word for it. Google it and check. Google it and check. They're on the border with America. Literally, on the border with Texas.
Yep.
They are on the border, and they're converting tens of thousands of Latinos. By the way, they're converting Latinos who are in the prison system within the United States of America to Islam. Again,
well, IQ,
don't take my word for it. Double check it.
Yeah, IQ, you've made those statements here before. We wanted to get an update from you on that again because, again, these are the things, ladies and gentlemen, they are real. They are not disputable. Yet our leaders are not dealing with them, which I'm going to take you back here in 30 seconds because I want to go to prayer here with Gary IQ before we go. I ask you this question before the break. Barack Obama was a problem. We know it. He facilitated a lot of the growth of Islam around the world. We know that. President Trump came in. He identified the enemy. Do you believe that he is willing and going to be able to act, or do you believe that his head has also been turned?
Well, it hasn't been turned. He's being undermined. Look, when you have two generals who are close advisors to him, who are not willing to say that Islam and terrorism are synonymous, you lost the game.
There you go. And I'm going to stop right there, IQ. He's being undermined, and we need to pray for that. We're about out of time. Gary, I want you to go and ask you to pray for this and pray for these the hurricane coming up through Florida. Let's pray for it again, if you could, please.
Well, Father, we realize there's so much to pray for, and we would pray that you would give our leaders here in the United States of America the wisdom to deal with this matter concerning the rise of Islam and Sharia law, not only here in the United States of America, but around the world. Also, Father, I do pray for those who are in harm's way of Hurricane Irma and others that might be coming this direction. protect them, provide for them. I pray that you'd strengthen the church so that it might be able to be an aid to those who are in need. And we'll give you the praise for what you'll do in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us. Stand in the gap for truth this weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.